Did Mark Wahlberg accidentally admit he's in the DCEU? Those fun Zack Snyder Justice League cut rumors continue to float. And how did Adam Gertler do on the next Food Network Star? Right now.
Welcome to Popcorn Talk, featuring movie discussion, news, and interviews. Popcorn Talk, we talk movies. And now, here's Popcorn Talk's DC Movie News.
In the Great Hall of the Justice League, there are assembled the world's four greatest heroes.
Three.
Created from the cosmic legends of the universe.
Yes, that is right. We are here. It is July 5th. We are all hungover from 4th of July. We hope you all had an amazing holiday if you live in the country. And if not, we hope you partied anyway. This is the DC Movie News Show right here on the Popcorn Talk Network. We're at DC Movies SK on Twitter, facebook.com/DC Movies SK. I'm Johnny LaQuasto at J Quasto on all social medias. That gentleman right there, he is the host of FX Movie Download on FX. You also have been seeing him every single week on the Food Network's Next Food Network Star, which is going to be our top story. Follow him everywhere at Adam Gertler. He had amazing meat yesterday at his party. He's Adam Gertler.
Greetings.
What a
Greetings.
Party. What a party we had. It was fun.
Yes, we did. Thanks for coming by.
I was honored.
It was a good time.
Honored to be there.
I came back from Dallas and started smoking meat. I was inspired by being in Texas and decided to throw down Tex-Mex style for 4th of July because I figured it was a great shout out to the American art form of barbecue and our neighbors to the south, Mexico.
That's right.
Because you can't have Tex-Mex without the Mex.
No.
So happy Independence Day and... Not a big week for us as far as news, but we'll find some stuff to chat about.
What I was reminded of going to your party is that it's impossible to look cool carrying bags of ice. It's just a very clunky thing to try to do. It's very easy to drop the bags, and it's just I'm not good at carrying bags of ice.
Over the shoulder.
Wouldn't you always look cool carrying bags of ice?
I mean, the over-the-shoulder carry is the way to go.
But yep.
I got what she's saying, too.
She's got it.
Temperature wiser.
Oh, wordplay already. This is wow, keeping us on our toes. She actually just got back from Las Vegas Comic Con this past week, hosting a whole bunch of panels. She's going to be super busy in San Diego Comic Con in just a couple of weeks. Follow her everywhere at Elena Jordan. She's Elena Jordan.
Hey, that's me. I'm Elena Jordan. Yeah, it was a lot of fun in Vegas. It made me very, very excited for Hawaii, too. So if you guys are going to be in Hawaii in August, last weekend in August, the amazing Comic-Con Aloha. I'll be there. So
when is
that? See me and hang out with me. August 24th.
Okay.
I'll have to look up the date. It's the last week.
It's a whole week.
Yeah, it's a weekend. Yeah.
Okay.
But that one's always really, really fun because they have really great parties. So you can go to Amazing Comic-Con and you can get your tickets and everything.
And it's in Hawaii, for God's sake.
It's in Hawaii.
Do you need an assistant?
I would love that.
This guy is always angling.
That's right.
Always angling.
Come on now. So top story, Adam Gertler. This past week, Next Food Network Star. So you won Comeback Kitchen, which got you on the show.
Yes. Got onto Food Network Star again for the first time in 10 years. Made my return. Wanted to show that I was a better cook. That I've been working as a host for 10 years, which, you know, you can Google. It's true.
Yes, yes.
My competition ended this past Sunday as I was let go. But, you know, I got to say, the Twitterverse, the internet has been so kind to me. It's almost like I feel like I went down like a martyr. Mm-hmm. I made a Jedi reference that I was like Obi-Wan going down, and now, like, the young Jedis have to come up and make good, and also in that I will return more powerful than they will ever know. So watch out, Food Network, I'm a-coming. But no, it was great, and honestly, like, it happened a while ago, so I've had a lot of time to deal with it.
Sure.
At my party yesterday was my buddy Harrison, who got eliminated the same day.
Yeah.
But, I mean, just in case of point, like, he's got the same birthday as me, and we're good friends now.
Mm-hmm.
And we met on the show. So... sometimes you make good friends from these shows.
Yeah.
And it's also been really good. I'm really busy. I got a couple more projects that I'm shooting now and continue to be working on. So if I had nothing going on, then I would have more time to stew in the misery of my failure.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, the best thing you could do is keep working and stay busy. And,
it would be a delicious stew, I bet.
Yeah. Oh, my God, it would be. It would be a smoky, delicious stew.
Far from a failure. You won Comeback Kitchen. You got far on the show. And good things are going to come out of it. Yeah, you didn't win, but you're going to get something from it.
Oh, rub it in, Johnny. I already said I didn't win.
But it's not a failure, though. It's a victory. Because good things are coming for
me. A lot of people, too, have been saying, you know, it would be really cool is to see Adam host a show for Food Network, a brand new show. So that idea has been thrown around out there.
It's out
if
there.
Anybody wants to continue a Twitter campaign for
well,
that.
Well, it's out there. Listen, I'm just glad, you know, and I will say one of the coolest things, and I mentioned it before, we had a podcast challenge on the show, and it was just so funny because I've been doing this podcast, not related to food or anything else, for almost 4 years now.
Right.
And I mean, it was just so funny. Like, how could they know? Like, oh, podcast challenge. It was like, sometimes you get things like that. There was a Jewish deli challenge. Like, there were some things where you're like, oh, yeah. You know? And then, like, there was one like, okay, take your tostada, and now it has to be Moroccan. And I'm like, I don't know.
But Googling Moroccan cuisine.
No, but they don't let you have
I
no
bet
Google
it was
ability.
Still Moroccan, even if it wasn't full Moroccan.
It was Moroccan than it could have possibly have been.
I think my favorite quote here in chat roll from R-Y-I-I-N, Ryan, I'm just going to read it in a British accent. He says, chin up, old boy. That's fantastic. Should we get into the few stories we actually have this week?
Yes. All right. A holiday week, and Comic-Con is coming in a couple of weeks, so expect not a lot of news. But at the end, we should also talk about Batman 50.
Yes.
I don't know. I just read it before it came
yes.
over here.
And,
oh, also the fact, why don't we just say it now? As of next week, we're officially switching days. So as of July 13th, we're going to be recording on Fridays at 1 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, because for the longest time, we were trying to figure out what day of the week is best for all of us. As you know, Mikey can't make it a lot of times. Roxy's busy. Adam's busy. I'm busy. We decided Fridays 1 p.m. is the best option for all of us to make it consistently. And then, obviously, you are going to make your schedule available, hopefully, as well.
Yeah.
So, yeah, so that's the plan. Fridays, 1 p.m. Pacific. And there we go. That's the announcement. Should we get into Wahlberg?
Sounds good.
Yeah. Actually, what? Yeah, this because J.R. Hill is chiming in. He wants to talk about Wahlberg.
Yeah.
About how this photo might have missed the Marky Mark.
Oh, keep it coming.
We don't have a lot of news that there's going to be a lot of puns. You're welcome.
You're already at number five. I'm counting.
First of all, who's the guy in the foreground?
I don't know.
It's very funny.
I don't know. I wanted some explanation for that. Like, I was like, everyone's talking about all the photos in the background. Who is that guy?
And he's sitting in a very odd position. It's like he's stretching his hammies. I don't
he's
understand.
Just like, Mark's so doing this again.
So, guys, why is this a story? We've all seen Marky Mark shirtless before. We've been seeing it for 20-something years.
Because we haven't seen him in front of a wall full of photos yeah. of actors labeled with their characters from the DCEU, which makes it seem like he's in an office and somewhat related to the DCEU.
Yeah.
And because everyone's a super fan, they've even gone in depth and saying, look at his hair, though. It's been shorter lately. This is an old photo.
Right.
He's been with the DCEU for a while. We can tell. But we can't tell who that man is.
And in the words of Marky Mark himself, Adam, come on, come on, feel it, feel it.
So, so is this confirmation that Marky Mark is Hal Jordan?
I don't know.
I don't think it's confirmation of anything. I think it was just an accident. I don't think this was a DCEU release. Everybody's like, oh, is this their subtle way of announcing this because of LeBron? Is this their version of the LeBron announcement? And I'm like, no, I think this was a mistake.
He posted this shortly after LeBron signed with the Lakers.
Yeah, I don't think that he meant to.
You think that maybe it has nothing to do with any of that? He's just so happy about LeBron that he's posting like a heroic, here's my shirt off picture and all this.
That's why I don't understand what this has to do with LeBron.
Well, and admittedly, this came from, I believe, BatmanNews.com, right? Mm. And I think the reason that he put it up, he even said, it was like, today's July 4th, so there's not going to be a lot of news. So let's just speculate about this. That being said, I kind of agree with Skye Patterson. It would be very weird to see Mark Wahlberg in that role. I'm of the opinion, like, Mark Wahlberg is a classic movie star type in that some movies, for me, I can't stand him in. And then there are other movies where he's great in, like, what was the last one? The Scorsese film.
The Town?
The Departed.
Oh, The Departed.
The Departed,
like,
yeah.
He's awesome in that movie. Like, amazing awesome. Obviously, Boogie Nights, amazing, yep. Spectacularly awesome.
Yep.
Other times, like the M. Night Shyamalan film, but, you know, you could say that he's not to blame for that. The Ted movie he's good in. Like, he's not this, he's not a Daniel Day-Lewis type. He's not a character actor. He does a certain
he's
thing
very
well.
Very versatile.
But who would you see him as in the DC, as long as we're talking?
It would have to be, could be Guy. If he was going to be.
Oh, he could be Guy Gardner.
If we're going Green Lantern, if we're, you know.
I'm definitely keen on this idea that it's going to be a Green Lantern in his 40s, you know, with the John Stewart, a younger John Stewart. I like that spin. Some people are also saying, oh, he's the next Batman. That would be weird because
I think it's definitely Green Lantern Corps.
If anything.
Yeah, if anything.
And then who is this guy in the visor in the foreground?
That's what I don't understand, how nobody is talking about, okay, well, we looked at every single photo in the background. Can we have any explanation? I have no idea.
That's true. No, there's also Black Hawk happening, the Steven Spielberg project.
That's true.
And this guy could definitely do a war-type film.
Yeah, but it's something to talk about on a slow week. Is the picture's interesting. The headshots in the back, I mean, who knows what office they're in. It's very strange, to say the least. But yeah, that's what we're going with so far. Also, Daniel RPK is this Twitter account that apparently is, you know, really in the know, and a lot of things he says have credibility attached to him. He's saying now that DC is going to be focusing on mainly standalone films in the future. And, you know, Elena, it kind of makes sense because, you know, we have Aquaman coming out, then we have Shazam, Wonder Woman 84. Yeah, I mean, there you go.
It does. I feel like this isn't, I don't understand how this is really news. It seems like that would just make sense. But I mean, at the same time, it's like you can't discount Suicide Squad 2. Like, that's definitely happening. There's also, you know, there's a multitude of non-standalone that are also included. I feel like this isn't really, I feel like this is him saying,
But Suicide Squad, I wouldn't consider not a standalone. Everyone in the Suicide Squad is in the Suicide Squad.
Yeah.
True.
I think that's a team film.
With no crossovers, basically. Yeah.
I take this, you know, if this is true, I wonder how does that affect, everybody's very been, you know, keen on the rumor that Cavill is going to be in Shazam. So if that's the case, it would be weird to put Superman in Shazam.
I don't think it's weird. I still don't think it's weird. And I think it's definitely going to happen because I think it's going to be a small cameo only for this reason.
Right.
For the logistical going, not from a fan point of view, but from a purely executive monetary point of view.
You put him in
there. He has one film left on his contract. His agent is an executive producer for Shazam. She's going to push for the final appearance to be a cameo so then he can rewrite a brand new contract for Superman 2, for Man of Steel 2. Because if he can have a brand new contract, then he can negotiate for more money. So if you're looking at who's actually involved in this process, I think it only makes sense that his final appearance would be for a cameo that would be a small part, which also greatly affects Billy's perspective, which also is why the costume looks the way it does. I think that it all ties in together. It makes sense.
As also, when it comes down to it, fans love seeing other characters in films.
Yes.
People pop for cameos.
And
you know?
A cameo isn't a crossover.
Right.
You're not having
but it
him
does
on
acknowledge
TV,
the world,
him,
though. It does it acknowledge does. The same world, and it makes fans beg for more continuity and more crossover. Like, that's what makes people crazy. Sometimes what ticks me off a little bit is sometimes when, like, a film is not good, but it's all about, like, the little Easter egg and the little hint to keep you going to, like, those little teasers, like Darth Maul popping up in the end of, like, a mediocre Star Wars film and, like, just to get you excited. And it's like, but it's out of nowhere. Is it really earned? You know what I mean?
I
understand to have not a purely fan service cameo, but if it's one, like, in Shazam, that it completely frames Billy's narrative of what superheroes are supposed to be.
Which this it can. It certainly idolizes. Can.
If you read the comics, like, I mean, he is a superhero fan. It would make sense for there to be a cameo, even if it's just Superman on TV.
Yeah.
Even if it's not even a direct thing, even if it's some sort of... I honestly think that that's going to be what it is.
I agree. Listen, I still think that's going to happen, and I want it to happen.
Me
I
too.
Want to see more Cavill as Superman. I think there's never been a guy more perfectly cast as far as just from the physicality. But I'm just saying, like, how does that jive with this report? I guess you could say, obviously, we're not going to see Batman and Aquaman. That's not surprising anybody. We're probably not going to see any other heroes in Wonder Woman, as far as that goes. I don't think Justice League 2 is happening anytime soon. And in fact, there'll never be a Justice League 2. It'll maybe be another Justice League somewhere down the line.
Yeah, well, the tweet says, the future is standalone with very few crossovers, probably for the best. I trust Jenkins, Wan, Reeves, and Sandberg to deliver their own great standalone superhero films. Then someday down the road, they'll crossover again, and this time they'll make it work. Hashtag DCEU. So
I got news. I think that that's a better idea because how many franchise crossovers can the public handle? Everybody that's trying to start these shared universes has failed except Marvel. And there are people that are already like, all right, now Marvel's going to a conclusion. I don't know that people want to jump in to another, like, connected universe. Sure. I just don't know that the public is going to have the tolerance for it. So it's a, I think it's a much better strategy.
Of course.
It does, because trying to have all of these crossovers for DC right now, because they haven't had the time that Marvel has had, is, I think, over expediting. And I think that
we saw Warner Brothers try to rush things, and you know,
doesn't work.
No, I think one film at a time, let people enjoy it.
And people love these characters. That's so right. I think give the fans what they want.
Very exciting. Well, speaking of giving fans what they want, this is a story that's was very interesting. It continues to float around, and then it was quickly debunked, but we want to talk about it anyway. There was a rumor that came out this past week that Zack Snyder was in the lab working on his own cut of Justice League without Warner Brothers, all right? So Revenge of the Fans editor-in-chief Marco Francisco Robles shared that he's doing this, and he didn't really say where the information came from. But to me, it didn't make sense to begin with. Zack Snyder can't release his own version of Justice League without the approval of Warner Brothers. And you mentioned he's still doing business with them.
Yeah, I mean, he's still an executive producer on Wonder Woman, on definitely Suicide Squad 2. Like, anything already in his deal, he's not excised with. Can anybody in the chat role... is the Fountainhead movie, do we know if that's a Warner Brothers project or not?
Is it? I thought that was Paramount. Am I wrong?
I don't know. I just tried to Google it. I couldn't find out. But his next project is Fountainhead. And I was going to say, like, if it's Warner Brothers, clearly he's not working on anything behind their back. And, well, all the stuff that he releases on Vero, I'm sure, like, if Warner Brothers wasn't cool with it, he wouldn't be able to do it.
You're probably right.
Yeah. Well, Jay Oliva, too, the storyboard artist.
So now debunk it for us.
Yeah, flat out came out and was like, look, guys, no. His quote was, it's clickbait. Anyone who says they have a, quote, reliable source usually have it wrong. Whenever I cite my source, it's pretty much from the person I'm talking about, whether it's Zach, Jeff Johns, Patty Jenkins, Ben Affleck, mm-hmm. Taika, Kevin Feige. It's all firsthand. And mm-hmm. so he says, other than incomplete VFX and some reshoots for hookups, everything that was shot was storyboarded. Zach isn't the kind of director who creates a film in the edit bay. It's all planned out meticulously from the beginning to end.
We know that.
That's how Man of Steel and BVS was done.
So Jay Oliva, who has directed many animated films for DC up to last year's Suicide Squad film. I don't know. He doesn't have any upcoming projects with Warner Brothers near that I can tell. I think that's why he's been a little outspoken. I have a feeling he may have severed ties with Warner Brothers. But he also works as a storyboard artist mm-hmm. On a lot of big films, including Thor Ragnarok. So what he has said is that the cut exists, but the effects aren't there. And Zack isn't trying to piece something together like the Donner cut of Superman.
He didn't necessarily say that it exists. He just didn't say that it doesn't exist.
Well, he did say it exists. There was another tweet where he was like, it exists. Deal with it. Mm-hmm. There was another Oliva tweet from last week where someone was like, I don't think it exists. And Oliva said, it exists.
But I think that's what he was saying, is that there was like a storyboard. There was an over arc, but it wasn't cut together.
There's a cut. No, there was a cut of the film. The cut was shown. That's what he said. What he's saying that he's not doing is Zach working on a new version of the film.
Yeah.
The film was done. It was shown to people. It was hated by Warner Brothers. That's why they went in the other direction, fired Zach, brought in Joss, you know, brought in Jeff, did all those things to do. No, I'm positive. Oliva has said the cut exists, but not in a state that they would release it. You know what I mean?
Of course not.
Right, right.
It's animatics.
Yeah. And, you know, a lot of fans in chat were saying, you know, if they get a chance, why wouldn't they release it? It will make money. You have a very fair point, but at the same time, it's like, don't you think it's a little bit of overkill?
Wait,
why do you
think it will make money when the movie itself didn't make money?
And why would you be like, look, this is what we hated. Here it is, not finished.
Unless it goes straight to DVD or something. I don't know.
Yeah, like, to make money, it would have to cost nothing to make. And even to edit together a new thing would still cost millions of dollars.
15 years from now, maybe, it'll be released.
Yeah, but for another 15 or 20 minutes, you know.
I just don't understand this clamoring for the Snyder Cut when, like, people crapped on BVS so much.
That's the big thing, is everyone was ripping Snyder to shreds, and now they're like, give us everything, we were loyal the whole time. And it's like,
it's a definition, fandom is a very vocal minority. Mm-hmm. The loudest people, but also a small number. You know, and whether you like it or not, people's not showing up to Justice League wasn't a reflection of Justice League's quality as much as it was a reflection of Suicide Squad's and BVS's. And inexplicably, Wonder Woman, which was so loved, people weren't even showing up for Gal. So the brand is what's hurting.
What do you mean? Oh, you mean for Justice League?
Yeah, they weren't even showing up for Gal.
Who was amazing in Justice League.
Yeah, she was great. I loved her bank scene, and you know, but it's the brand that doesn't have the love. That's why, you know, the other guys can put out something with characters that nobody's ever heard of, as long as they slap their logo on it, it's going to do well. DC has a lot of healing to do in the next couple of years.
And I think it's going to help. I think Aquaman and Shazam are going to do great things towards that, along with Wonder Woman 84 is late next year. So we got three films we should all be incredibly excited for in just over... We're now in July. In the next 16 months, we have three films to be very, very excited for.
I'm excited. I'm not going to be here, I think, the next two episodes, but I can't wait. You know, when I come back, it'll be right before Comic-Con.
Yeah.
And obviously... During Comic-Con, we're going to have so much to talk about, and like afterwards, so things are going to get very exciting.
Well, one thing we're going to talk about is Teen Titans Go to the Movies.
Yeah.
So, obviously, people are starting to see some screeners, and there's some tweets that are going out. So far, the feedback's been really good. We have one tweet saying, Teen Titans Go to the Movies is super fun. It's very kiddie, but it's funny. The superhero subversion is clever. The cameos rule, and it goes way further than expected. Another comment is that It's great, not really a surprise. There's a protracted Challengers of the Unknown joke that had me rolling. Another one is a total blast. My favorite animated film of the year. Love the references and obscure superheroes to the 80s music. All right, hell yeah, I'm into that.
Yeah.
So far, great feedback, which is very exciting because, you know, we saw Tara Strong tweet about it a few weeks ago. Like, hey, guys, make sure you go see this movie because we want to do more.
Oh, and I hope we get Tara in here one of these days
yes.
so we can help spread the word.
Me too, because she's going to be in Hawaii.
Is she going to be?
So I'm like, come here first, so then we can have Mai Tais.
So when does this movie come out?
Oh, boy, good question. Let's see here.
But it looks great. But, you know, the animated films are always great. I love the inside jokes. I loved Lego Batman. This is going to be a very, very fun movie. And, you know, it's great. This is why I love having MoviePass, because this is a film, as much as I love DC, I'm probably not going to see Teen Titans Go in the movies, but with MoviePass, I'll probably go see it.
July 27th.
Okay, so coming up real soon.
3 weeks.
Post-Comic-Con.
Yes.
Oh, so I bet they're going to have screenings at Comic-Con.
Yeah, at Comic-Con.
100%.
Yeah. Moving on, we posted a few weeks ago, actor Louis Tan, he Instagrammed a photo of him at the DC offices and kind of being very cryptic about things. He has confirmed now that he's discussed the Nightwing movie with DC amongst other projects as well. But he's also currently in Deadpool 2.
But I believe the story is he clarified this.
Yes, he said that he was not meeting specifically about that character, just about DC projects in general. He wasn't specifically meeting about Nightwing. We're just kind of assuming that it's going to be Nightwing. He has said on Twitter, though, that he would be interested.
Well, because Chris McKay has said that it's got to be a martial artist, and he's a martial artist.
So I feel like the way that he's structured his tweets makes it seem like he's kind of campaigning for it more so than being offered it right now.
And it also, and initially it kind of made it seem like DC called him in to talk about Nightwing when it was probably more of a general.
Yeah, just like a, hey, let's meet up. Like, you were kind of a sleeper hit. Everybody really, really liked you in Deadpool 2, even though it was a small...
So, was that meeting after Deadpool 2?
Yes.
Okay, that's
great. He was in Vegas. And so, I have to say, just on a personal note, he was so fun. One of our programmings that we did was we had kids playing Mario Kart up on the big screen, and they would put on these glasses that they would, whatever character they were, they would wear it. He saw it, and he said, this looks so much fun. He hopped on stage and competed with the kids, wore the glasses and everything, was like taking pictures with everybody.
Good go, Lewis.
So an incredibly sweet person, an incredibly kind person. I say...
And man, is he in shape.
I am Team
Jesus.
Tan.
And also he did say, he says, my father came to America because of Batman. His dad worked on Tim Burton's Batman film.
Do you know what in what capacity? Actor or behind the scenes?
I think behind the scenes. Mm-hmm. And he said, but I want to see it come full circle and give back. He said, I'm not going to trade in my Marvel roots because they started me, but DC started my dad. So it'd be great to go over there and find the right thing. So obviously, you add it all up, it does make sense. If he needs a martial artist... I mean, why wouldn't he fit for Nightwing?
It's just Chris McKay has actually come out and said, this is, slow down, guys. This film is not happening anytime soon. So we don't really know what the plans are to introduce Dick, how they're going to go. Is there going to be a Batverse? we're hearing they're not crossing over films, then how does Nightwing exist? There's a lot of questions. Eon 001 wants to know about the Death of Superman movie, which comes out at the end of this month. And he said it's the only DC film he's excited for. Of course, we're getting that, I believe, the first week of August, the last week of July. That's going to be released digitally, part one, and then part two next year. I'm also very excited about that. A nice, proper retelling of the Death of Superman with all the other characters, and then the Four Superman, the Reign of the Superman, all that stuff. That's going to be very cool.
There you go. Let's see a few more things here. Aquaman. The cast of Aquaman is going to be on the episode of Conan on July 22nd for the final Comic-Con episode. So obviously, if you're a fan of Conan, you're going to see all of Aquaman on that episode. Mission Impossible director says, stop blaming him for Cavill's weird mouth. Who wants to take this one?
Well, you know, I'm of the opinion that this did kind of ruin the movie for me. It certainly ruined coming back to the movie.
I didn't even notice it. That's the funny thing.
I did. I'm the only person. That's why I even wrote it that way, was that.
Listen, yeah. I'll just say this, Johnny. Weird. I'm very much on the scale, the Kinsey scale, whatever it's called, the scale of sexuality. I think I'm very in the straight, you know, cisgendered male. This is one of the most beautiful men that has ever happened, okay? When you mess with his upper lip and he just looks weird, you notice. And Superman was my favorite thing about the film because I love Superman, and a lot of those scenes were ruined because of that effect.
Yeah.
But you're an idiot if you're blaming the director of Cavill's next movie. You should be happy that the guy is working more than Christopher Reeve was able to work. You know, like,
that I didn't think it was that bad. Cavill, keep a stiff upper lip.
Oh, God, he sure did. He had no problem keeping a stick. Stiff. It was very stiff. Indeed.
I have to rewatch it. But
so now I think what has happened.
It was like tiny and weird. That was the thing.
It was in a lot of scenes too. It was all over the place. But now I think because fandom is so toxic, not our fans who are awesome, by the way, but you know, the Star Wars fans and the hater fans. And I think now Macquarie's like, I just read, like, not interested in superhero films or Star Wars or anything. Like, nobody wants to, like, go near that water of sniping sharks, you know, like, where it's, like, so much judgment before you've even started making a film. If you're a Macquarie, like, what is enticing to you about that? Like, it's like, the fandom has created this place we're in right now where these films make billions of dollars, and now the fandom is a collective asshole. You know, like, they're just like, individually, I'm sure everybody's really sweet and would not be weird, but, like, collectively, these fans are a jerk.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's also people, like, hiding behind the screen and the keyboard, and then there's other currencies. People forget that there's other currencies than just money. You also have the sense of accomplishment, the sense of pride, the sense of people liking what you're doing, and when the only kind of voice you're hearing is this backlash and you're not hearing all of the positivity, then yeah, it wears at you.
Yeah.
I mean, they're chasing freaking Rosalie off of Instagram because they didn't like her in Star Wars, and she was brilliant, by the way. I mean, it's ridiculous how intense people are getting over things that we're supposed to be celebrating our love for.
Yeah, people just need to know how to engage in discourse, you know? It's right. What it is, it's just a lack of civility. Like, you can be mad at something, you can hate something, you can disagree, but, like, it's so funny that, like, a lot of the fandom, I think, are, like, of us, we're, like, geeks and nerds, and, like, now that we're empowered, it's true, it's like, you're becoming the bullies now. It's like,
oh yeah,
it's totally, like, flipping around, like, you're becoming the bully that, you know... It's
absolutely
it's
true.
Ridiculous.
I mean, people need to just chill out a little bit. Last thing, as far as movie news goes, a really cool article by Kaylee Donaldson of Screen Rant, just giving her opinion piece on, you know, how Matt Reeves, the Batman, should introduce the DCEU's Robin. And I think we all would agree, if we're going to have a younger Batman, I think this would make sense.
I would love to see a story of introducing Robin. That's a story we've never seen before. Jack Dennis says, seriously, Adam, it wasn't that bad. You don't have to be either fed up or in love with something all the time. Do you mean specifically me, that I'm either fed up or in love with something all the time? Maybe, but it is that bad. Yeah, we haven't seen that before.
Yeah.
I think that would be cool to see Robin. What was that done in the comics? Was that like year two or year three, I think, that they retell back in the day?
Yeah.
And it would totally give us another reason to be excited for the film, since obviously, Affleck's not going to be involved. Some fans might want to be re-excited to go see another Batman film. I think the introduction of Robin, oh my God, that's something that would
be cool. If you could justify making a kid go out and fight with you. Yeah, I don't know how you justify that.
You have to be able
to
pull it off. That's the thing. I think that's it's because it's difficult that people that I think that's why it hasn't been done.
To be honest, Terrell, do you think this is apocryphal to say? What do you think? I would like to see him be like more like 17, 18. More like a Louis Tan's age, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, not a 14-year-old. I just think that makes no sense.
Yeah. For sure.
But
well, especially with the push with Shazam, it's like, why would we have somebody who's only a couple years older than this child out fighting crime seriously?
As a child, right.
When we have Billy as this grandiose...
Right. Yeah. I mean, it works in something like Kick-Ass, you know?
Yeah.
But like, I like that a Batman film, just by the nature of Batman, can be a little bit more grounded. Mm-hmm. So if you have, like, a normal kid who is, you know, a wonderful acrobat...
See, yeah, I'm thinking, like, 17, 18. I'm also thinking, like, a Dylan O'Brien, who I was thinking for Nightwing 2 type age. You know, somebody who can play, like, late teenager.
Hmm. Yeah, it's interesting, though. I wonder, you know, we know that sometimes DC movies prohibit the use of certain characters, and we see Robin is about to be debuting big time in Titans. So you might take that as a sign that they don't have any plans to do it anytime soon.
Sure.
Maybe. I don't know.
I think you're right on that one. But either way, it'd be something that would be incredible for the fans, and I think it does make sense.
Zeno Aris telling me Louis Tan is in his 30s.
Yes, so, he just looks really young.
More of a Nightwing. I get you. I get you. More of a Nightwing age.
Aging well. With that said, it's time for...
What is...
It's time for... It's... She's not here, but in her honor...
Oh, my goodness!
It's time for Roxy Stryer's TV time. All the girls think Johnny's fine. Adam's cooking, so they're fine.
That's right.
But Giada DeLaurentis didn't think so.
Well, that's her problem. Her problem.
TV time. Whatever.
My bruschetta. My bruschetta wasn't enough.
All right, what are we starting with first, Elena? Is it going to be Preacher or is it going to be something else?
Well, we actually had a character breakdown for Black Lightning, which was pretty cool. So we're going to know a little bit about what's going to happen in season two. If you guys don't want any sort of spoilery anything, a little bit of a spoiler alert warning right now. So the first character is just referred to as Perina. She's a therapist in her 40s or 50s with telepathic powers.
Mm-hmm.
Her role in season two is going to largely involve Jennifer Pierce. So she's going to be helping the young metahuman kind of understand her powers as Jennifer's getting her powers. She's going to kind of be her therapist, her metahuman therapist, which is a pretty cool concept. I like that idea.
Yeah. Did you see all of Black Lightning's first season?
I'm still like two episodes from the finale.
I still haven't to finish. I just saw that it's on Netflix now, so I kind of want
to
finish there.
Yeah, finish it. Yeah. They have a lot of things on Netflix, too. If you're not caught up on, I just rewatched Supergirl and The Flash, too. They have all of last season on there. I forgot Flash is really good when it's all kind of binge-watched.
Yeah,
sure.
It's like, I really, really like it. I like that format better. I kind of want it to move to Netflix because I like that better than waiting every week. Because there are some things that I forget. Anyway, unrelated.
No, true, true.
But there's a few villains that could be coming, too.
Okay.
So we have Slovak is going to be a Caucasian male in his 30s.
I think if your name is Slovak, you're probably going to be a Caucasian male.
Probably.
Maybe an angry Russian.
He's going to be a partner to Tobias Whale. And then Dr. Jace, which may be a code name for Helga Race.
I know.
So, which is... You know, the chemist in her 40s with a, quote, highly manipulative baddie who may or may not be a sociopath.
Well, those are my favorite kinds.
Yeah, that's the best. Then there's also a character, Major Lowry, who's going to be replacing Jefferson as the principal of Garfield High.
Not to be confused with Mike Lowry from Bad Boys.
Why is Jefferson... is that like... That's kind of a spoiler probably for the end of the season.
That's what... Well, I'm assuming probably.
Oops.
Yeah.
I will choose to ignore that.
And then Anissa is actually going to be getting a new love interest, too, in the form of Zoe B., a social media savvy young woman, quote, filled with confidence and edge.
Well, okay, then.
But we don't know what that means for Chantal, then.
No.
So it's like, okay, well, let's see. Let's see. That's who was kind of linked to Thunder in the first season. So mm-hmm.
we'll see
what that means.
Are you both... I am fortunately am two episodes behind on Preacher. I have not seen the new season. I know you're caught up. Adam, are you caught up?
I just watched an episode this afternoon after cleaning up from the party.
Yeah.
It might be my favorite show on right now.
I love it. I do the after show too. Yeah. So shameless plug. Watch the after show because it's really
good. And I mean,
really
of the shows that
season.
Are airing like right now, I'm into like, I'm liking Succession. I'm Dying Up Here. I'm liking Cloak and Daggers looking good. But one. Preacher, you know what I like? It's that show that is over before I want it to be over in the way that Game of Thrones sometimes is where I'm like, no more, trying to squeeze more of it out. It's too good.
The big thing that everybody was saying season one was how slow paced it was. And Seth Rogen was doing all of these interviews saying, look,
that was on
we
purpose.
Already know. Yeah. He's like, we already know that we're going to have a certain number of seasons at least. So it's going to be kind of a snowball effect where every season everything will move faster and faster and faster. And now the take on the Angelville stuff is totally different than the comics.
It's so different. And
but
I gotta
it's so
say,
well done.
What a risk and what a success. Because I got to say, sometimes when something is well translated, I'm less interested in it because I've already watched
it before. I already know what's going to happen.
That happens with books all the time. With like the Girl with the Dragon Tattoo series. Like I read those books, which is rare for me. And then I'm like, when the movies come out, it's like underwhelming. And then when the American version of the movie is like, I've seen the story a million times already.
That's why I was excited that this was on AMC. Because The Walking Dead has been so good about how when they were trying to stay really true to it and then they kind of diverge from it because they're saying, you know, the governor is a character that wouldn't be in the comics this long, but we're really fans like, so we're going to focus on that. They're kind of doing the same thing with Preacher where they're kind of taking more liberties and adapting it to screen so that you don't really know what's going to happen.
Yeah.
And what I love about Preacher is, you know, all over Los Angeles, they had movie posters up advertising the new season, basically telling you not to watch the show.
Yeah,
if you're offended easily, if you're squeamish, if you're weirded out, they're like, look, you might not want to watch this. And I love when shows or movies are ballsy enough to be like, hey, this might not be your cup of tea and we don't care.
The guy that plays Star, I mean...
So good. Hair Star. Oh, my God. He's incredible. He's, everybody on that show, the grandma, Betty, what's
her name? Jody? The big guy, Jody?
Jody is amazing, too. Yeah. TC, even everybody. This is what I love, too, TC and Jody were very kind of two-dimensional henchman characters in the comics.
Yeah, they weren't fleshed out at all.
There are no two-dimensional characters in this show. Everybody who is recurring is fleshed out and has a backstory. You have emotional connection to all of these people, even
Super
Hitler,
cool.
Which is...
I can't wait to catch up.
If there's nothing else to talk about, should we talk about Batman 50 at all? Have you read it?
Incredible, and I'm going to go broke trying to make this wedding dress. I'm going Jonelle Jones designed Catwoman's wedding
dress. So spoilers if you haven't read Batman 50 or no, but wasn't there a big controversy like a New York Times writer spoiled the issue or something like that?
Oh, really?
Yeah, there was a whole thing about
it. I intentionally stay away from anything that says spoiler anything just so that I'm not spoiled by headlines from it until after I've read it. So I didn't even know about that.
And I'm looking at pictures of the wedding. Oh, my God.
Isn't it gorgeous?
Jesus.
I'm not even kidding. I'm making this wedding dress. Yes, with the lace.
Yeah.
So Jonelle Jones is the artist who designed this. And
oh, God.
She's coming to Hawaii, too, I believe. So that'll be pretty cool. But yeah, I'm like, should I bring an entire wedding dress in my suitcase to Hawaii?
Is it possible to make a dress that looks that good? God.
Cole McHugh. Sorry, I don't know how to pronounce
God, it's
that
gorgeous.
Name. Apparently, Hawk and Dove won't have powers in Teen Titans show. I heard that Dove won't fly.
Yeah, I didn't hear that there won't be any powers. I just heard that that Dove won't actually fly.
But I don't know.
Is it no powers at all?
It could be. I don't know. I haven't seen that article. Let us know about that. But yeah, I guess a lot of people didn't like the Batman 50. They said there was a twist that they didn't like at the end or something like that. I thought it was...
There's definitely a twist, and obviously we don't want to give it away because a lot of people haven't seen it, or read it, I should say.
But I got it on Comixology and checked it out. It was great. You have artists and writers from all different eras of Batman participating in it, and it was definitely cool.
That's amazing.
But if a little bit of a sad conclusion.
I mean, it's Batman. It's got, you know.
It's, nobody's happy. It's the same thing as, like, Game of Thrones. If there's a wedding invitation, you take it with a grain of salt.
Yeah.
You're not going to have a great time. It's not going to be fun times had by all. I mean, everyone will look really pretty for a little bit.
Right. This isn't Spider-Man and MJ. This isn't...
Yeah, it's like, take the wedding photos early
Lois
on.
And Clark.
Things are going to go awry.
That's the arc of Batman. It's his entire life. Even when things might be kind of cool, they're not going to be. And that's one of the reasons
Johnny,
we love the character.
You didn't read the issue, but you're pretty much right on what that is exactly the point.
And I love it.
That is exactly the point.
That's why we love Batman.
What is Batman without his pathos? Without his, you know, that's his sacrifice. Does Batman have to sacrifice his own happiness so to be the beacon that he is?
Probably. Yeah.
Anyway.
Gal is the Instagram. Superman is the Twitter. He is the MySpace.
Wow. Oh, wait, what are you talking about? Like, irrelevant?
Is the if a social media was to be a character, Batman is MySpace.
Wait, how is MySpace the smartest?
It's the sad. It's the emo. It's the I've got the side swoop hair. Tom looking.
So this
back.
Isn't a comment on the success of MySpace, which is pretty much non-existent
the,
right now.
It's the emo bang swoop.
I was wondering where you were going.
So who's the Snapchat?
You gotta be sad. Snapchat would be Shazam? Teen Titans.
Okay, oh, fair enough. Shazam could be Snapchat.
Actually,
who's the Vero?
Ooh.
The Vero. Zack Snyder.
Oh, that'd be a character
Zack Snyder.
That
all Zack Snyder movies are the Vero.
Vero would have to be a character that no one really understands because I don't understand Vero. I signed up, I posted one thing, and I'm like, I don't know, I'm done. Like,
Vero is Nightwing.
What do you think? Jack Dennis says, if Affleck wants to leave, I always thought Taylor Kitsch would be cool as Batman.
Mm-hmm.
Failed Gambit, a couple years older. He's a good actor.
Well, he has run the Gambit.
Mm-hmm. Hey now! Well, that's a good way to end the show. We are at DC Movies SK on Twitter, facebook.com/DC Movies SK. Don't forget, y'all, next Friday, July 13th, we begin recording at our new time. It's going to be Fridays, 1 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. And so we're going to cut this video out and put it on social media so everyone knows, because we want to pack this place. We want so many people watching live. That it's going to be just amazing, and that's what we want. So, Adam Gertler, put yourself here.
Hey, everybody. Even though I will probably not be on it except in the recap of the last week's episode, please continue to watch Food Network Star. That's a show that's been very good to me in my career. And I know I'm going to be recording some new episodes of FX Movie Download very soon. So check that out. And I will see you all in a couple of weeks.
That's right. Elena Jordan.
You guys can find me on Twitter at Elena Jordan and on Instagram at That Elena Jordan Girl. And I'll post links to all the places that you can buy tickets to any of the Comic Cons that I'll be at because there's a bunch.
So exciting. I hope to be down there in a couple of weeks with you in San Diego.
Yes,
SDCC. It's going to be a lot of fun. So Factory Entertainment, we just want to give an early shout out to them. They were nice enough to send us really cool stuff last year before Comic-Con. They reached out again today and said, guess what? We're sending you some more stuff to show on next week's episode prior to Comic-Con. So for now, follow them on Twitter at FactoryENT, and you can see all the amazing artwork that they do, and it's very DC inspired, and you're going to absolutely love it. And whenever we get this stuff in the mail, we're going to put it on the show. It's going to be a lot of fun. Once again, follow Roxy Stryer at Roxy Stryer. I think she's back east, pretty sure. Follow Mike Kalinowski at Mike Kalinowski. He's out fighting crime and also just being a heel somewhere, I would imagine. I'm at Jay Quasto. Let's see. Next weekend, I'm at the Brea Improv. And I don't really remember anything else besides that. Oh, if you're in Arizona, Championship Wrestling from Arizona, we have a big television taping this Sunday at the Nile Theater in Mesa. So if you're in Phoenix or anywhere in that area, hit me up. I'd be happy to tell you how to get tickets. And other than that, jlocomedy.com, quastoalbum.com. Thanks, guys, for listening. Thanks for watching. We love you. See you next week.
Bye.
From producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire Popcorn Talk Network, we would like to thank you for tuning in. For questions or comments, be sure to visit popcorntalk.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of the Popcorn Talk Network.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of its owners or principals.